Welcome to Booked, the FA Cup final of literature games. Oh yes, in half an hour, you can be sure there'll be winners, losers, tears and sick parrots. A little poem. I like that moment before the ref blows his whistle and the football match begins. It's like your life stretched out and full of promise and they've forgiven all your sins. And the ref's polishing his whistle and here come the players down the tunnel. Super striker Miles Kington and wizard of the offside trap, Dilly Keane. And man-marking boy wonder Mark Thomas and the Scouse Pele, Roger McGough. And now the teams have tossed up, so let's kick off. Baddies. In front of each panellist is a pack of cards. Each card has written upon it the name of a literary baddie. All our panellists have to do is describe what's on the card so their teammate can guess it, but without using any of the words written on the card. You can only pass on one. You've got to get as many as you can in just 1 minute. Roger and Mark, off you go.
This is Baker Street, the evil villain from...
Moriarty?
Yeah, that's the one.
One-legged pirate.
Blind Pew.
No, one-legged.
Oh, Rod Silver. Long
yeah,
John
Long John Silver, go on, yes.
Oh, I'll never get there. Oh, this is fantastic. Queen did the song for the film. And it's like a vase. The first name is like a vase, a Chinese vase.
Ming. Mingalay.
Mingalay
Boson.
The...
Mingalay Boson.
No, no, no. Ming the something, and he's got no...
Ming the...
15 seconds.
Ming the...
Merciless.
Ming the Merciless.
Flash Gordon, mate.
Shh. All right. This is Shakespearean hero... Hunchbacked.
Oh, Richard III.
Easy.
5 seconds, last one. Time's up.
Runs to school.
The Master.
The Master?
Very good. You got some right there and some wrong. Let's move on. Miles and Dilly.
It's a digit and it's a precious metal. And it's
Goldfinger.
Yes.
Man with only one hand, the other one's a hook.
Captain Hook.
You can't have that because you're not supposed to say the name.
She wore black and white dog coats.
God.
Yes.
Dalmatians, I can't remember her name, you know. Milton's longest poem, The Bad Guy.
The Devil.
Yes.
This is the side of the doctor that you wouldn't want to get.
Hyde.
Yeah, well done.
Dickens.
15 seconds.
Carol, Christmas. No. Miser. Very miser.
Scrooge.
Oh, yes.
10
yes.
seconds.
He was played by Eric Porter in the series, and he had to offer...
5 seconds.
Nary Dawn Porter. And...
What's that song?
It rhymes with... Yes.
Time's up.
Rhymes with Holmes.
Soames. Sorry, I was working out the clues.
So the one you didn't get was Cruella de Vil.
Cruella
de Vil. The audience got that one.
How could I possibly...
I don't know. And now a chance for published writers to show off a bit by dipping their toes in new waters. This is the round known as Don't Give Up the Day Job, in which our panellists offer well-known writers the chance to write against their familiar style. So, Mark, who's dabbling for you?
Well, this is Enid Blyton. this is Edith Blyton, and she actually managed to get a job on the news. And you have to imagine Trevor McDonald going, now we go over to Enid Blyton, European correspondent at the EU summit. Hello. The Prime Minister arrived at the EU summit in a red, shiny car. He arrived with his foreign secretary, who looks rather like a goblin, but is very friendly. Prime Minister Blair chatted briefly to reporters and then smiled a lovely smile. It was such a lovely smile that I gave him sixpence. The Prime Minister and Robin Cook were completely comfortable with their counterparts, who are foreigners and live on the dark, nasty side of the wood. Germany wanted a fast-track approach to the economic reforms to meet the convergence criteria for monetary union. France wanted a two-stage entry process, allowing the delaying members later entry. And Tony Blair wanted two biscuits with his tea. Naughty Tony, he won't have any room for his lunch. Which is probably just as well as it's foreign food. Foreign food is raw things covered in spicy germs. The meeting then moved on to a debate on mad moo-moos. Tony Blair was very brave and stood up for them all. They are not mad. They're merely eccentric, he said. We British are known for our sense of humour. At least we in Britain can laugh at ourselves, unlike you lot, and you should laugh at yourselves because you're jolly funny. They then broke for lunch, with the Spanish getting to the table early and stealing everyone else's fish. The Foreign Secretary then refused to sign a joint immigration and borders policy because we have the famous five patrolling the caves and coves looking out for smugglers. On leaving the conference, Prime Minister took no questions from the waiting reporters and went straight to his official car. Pop, pop, went the car. I'm glad to see you too, said Tony. This is Edith Blyton in Brussels for News at 10. Golly, I shouldn't be up this late.
So, Miles, who's changing chairs for you?
Dorothy Parker, the wisecracking, hard-bitten lady writer of the 1920s Prohibition, who was drunk most of the time, but very amusing all the time. And she's reviewing a skiing holiday at Gstaad for a travel magazine. Before I came to Gstaad, I'd never been to a place which started with three consonants and had a double A in the middle. Nor had I ever been skiing before, as I'd always thought that skiing would be too difficult. However, if we always avoided things which seemed to be too difficult, we would never try swimming or reading Marcel Proust or making pastry while drunk. This is of little help to me, as I cannot swim, do not enjoy Marcel Proust, and cannot make pastry while drunk. Or if I can, I can't remember afterwards where I put the pastry. Skiing, however, turned out to be different. Skiing turned out to be exactly like sex. How is skiing like sex? Well, I'll tell you. In both cases, you start out vertical and aim to stay that way. But despite your best intentions, you soon end up horizontal with no very clear idea of how you got there or even if it was worth it. And in both cases, you quite often find a young man standing over you saying, well, I'm afraid that didn't really work out, did it? If skiing is something that can only be done in very cold places, then I am against it. The only consolation is that it is considered impossible to ski after dark by the experts. So when dusk comes, one is allowed to change into some clothes which allow you to go to the lavatory at last, and then retire to the bar to enjoy what is known as après-ski, and is said to be the best part of skiing. Personally, I distrust any sport where the best bit is said to be what happens when you've finished. Do we hear people promoting the claims of après-baseball? Or after chess? Is there such a thing as après-sex? Well, yes, there is. It's called remorse. Listen, you want my advice? My advice to all would-be skiers, stay home, lie flat in a very cold bath with a bottle of booze to hand. It's not so very different from the real thing, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper.
Now, bend your ears to these Pictoires Orelles, which is French for sound effects. These effects, as we call them, are in the form of adverts for well-known works of literature. Our panellists have to tell us which book is being advertised. So, Miles and Dilly, which book's this?
Omar came from the lowlife.
Am I all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Johnny was mates with Genghis.
For once in my life I've got something to say. I want to say it now, but now it's today.
Johnny kept his powder dry. Until...
Go back up!
Wait, get him!
And then...
Right then.
Can I just say it was a real pleasure to hear the music of Sham 69.
On Radio 4?
Yeah, fantastic. Jimmy Percy would just be better.
Omar, Genghis and Johnny were the three names.
Oh, that's right. The last bit was the big clue, I think.
It was a sort of machine that whirls round.
Honey,
sort of whirling
washing machine.
Washing
lawn.
Yeah.
So
what was it then?
My wonderful, beautiful laundrette. Was it?
Yes, it was. My beautiful laundrette.
I said, thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Right, Roger and Mark, this is an easy one for you.
The net curtains twitch. Ooh. His marriage was dead. Or soon would be.
You? Ooh.
Two men try to claim the glory. For the doctor.
Say ah.
The dentist.
Open wide.
The psychiatrist.
Tell me about your mother.
The nonagenarian. And the publisher.
Darling!
There you are then.
That noise in the middle, where that went ba 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 ba. Is that a sport thing?
Yes, it's tennis.
Wimbledon poisoner.
Wimbledon
poisoner.
Yes, it was. It was. Well done. And so let's move on to books with pencils in the spine, to diary entry. Literary lives splayed before the unforgiving public. Birmingham, are you ready for this? Roger, open the page of your literary diary and give us some gossip.
Well, hope this is hard-hitting enough, because it's the diary entries of Ant and Bee. Uh-huh. I'm going to be Ant and Mark is going to be Bee. Dear diary, I've decided to murder Bee. The idea came to me this morning as I was carrying a breadcrumb 480 times my own body weight to the Royal Granary. This is what I like doing best. Mindless tasks involving surprising strength and extraordinary powers of concentration. I am, after all, a worker ant. Then, out of the blue, like a bizarre bazooka, came a bee. And the next thing I know, I'm clamped to his undercarriage as it makes a beeline to the house of a certain person who writes children's books. B for blousy baggage. B for bad news.
This is B's entry for the same day. Oh, God. How many nectars did I have last night? The last thing I remember was chatting up the queen bee, being very witty, thought I was in with a chance. Woke up this morning with three arms trapped under a wasp. God knows what we did last night, but my bum was covered in pollen and my sting still sore. She tells me that she loves me. I managed to dump her at the litter bin. Went and hung out with the chaps at the cake shop. Had a few cans of the old extra strength. Sick on an ice bun. Flew at the shop assistant's face. Fell asleep on a bit of Battenberg. I have since deducted that the Battenberg was sold to a writer and illustrator of children's books. She plies me with nectar. She fills my craving. There's nothing I can do that she forces me to pose for her drawings. I am a whore and a slut, but what can I do? She needs an extra model for me to work with. Oh, God. A is for... Where am I?
Dear diary, being a live model for someone who cannot draw is in itself humiliating. But worse is the fact that I'm always given such unattractive roles... The gormless wimp, the pie can. Of course, as B gets to play the star parts, he sucks up something rotten to the writer. But not for long. The sands of B-time are fast running out. B for bootlicking Beelzebub. B for bye-bye.
Woken up by that bloody wasp. Knocking on the window, crying, mascara all over the place, saying that she's angry but she'll forgive me. Tried to hide but discovered two arms stuck under an ant.
Oh, Boise, Boise, I've been such a fool. Had a look at some of the drawings. Not bad. She has a certain talent for a disabled creature with only two arms. Not unappealing to the eye, either. Give her a couple more legs and I wouldn't kick her out the hive for farting. Really quite taken with her. Chatted to Ant. Remarkably stupid fellow. Doesn't drink. Likes to work. Looks like a vicar. No wonder humans pour boiling water on them. A is for avoiding arduous work.
To be continued, I think. Yeah.
Miles, open your 5-year diary for us.
Well, this is, to my surprise, this is quite a serious one. This is Charles Darwin. I'm writing this diary entry during family prayers and Bible reading, from which I have yet again been excluded. My family say that I simply cannot be present if I keep heckling. What do you mean by heckling, I ask? Well, says my wife, when we say a prayer, you always say something like, you'll be lucky. Or, there's no one listening, you know. And when we read from the book of Genesis last week and dealt with the creation story, you demanded the right to reply. Well, I said, it is all a load of tosh. What book would you suggest reading at morning prayers instead? She said, Euclid's Geometry, I said. I will not have geometry read at morning prayers, she said. At least you can believe it, I said. And it won't corrupt young minds. But it was no use, and here I sit alone now, reading the good book. The sum of the squares on the two opposite sides is equal to the square.
And now, hold my hand as we enter the danger zone that is the black bag. Terrifying stuff, this show, isn't it? In front of each panellist is a bag. Inside this bag are three objects. Our panellists slide their hands deftly into the bag in the manner of James Herriot entering his local pub. They grasp the objects therein, describe them, remove their hand and, turning round, touch the ground and going, wee! Guess which book the objects signify. Dilly.
I'm pulling back my sleeve.
Be careful, there's something quite fragile in there.
Oh, how exciting. I'm inserting my hand carefully into this black bag. And I can feel something long and thin. And it's got a funny tip on the end.
It's your other hand.
I think it's an unidentified swizzle stick. Okay, and then there's a book. Mm-hmm. Which is long and also thin, and it feels, it's got a sort of bendy cover, so it feels like a diary.
A diary, yes.
Yes, and then I've got, oh, it's, is it a cufflink? No.
Not in any way.
It's got a sort of mushroomy shape. So I have absolutely no idea what it is.
Think about, think Barnsley.
Think Barnsley.
That's just a clue.
That's really fabulous.
All right, well, you've got this swizzle stick.
Yes.
Don't peep, you've got a swizzle stick.
It's not
a swizzle stick, it's a, what Miles just said.
Thermometer.
And a diary. And a little...
A little...
Sabutio player.
Oh, yes, of
not
course.
A cufflink at all.
Of course it would be. Of course I know what a sabutio player feels like.
Well, there you go.
I've got my right hand on one most mornings, yes. Bloody hell, a sabutio player. Well, is it about football then?
Sort of.
Is it that football book by that boy? What's his name? Nick Hornby. Mm-hmm. Fever Pitch.
Yes, Fever Pitch.
I've broken it.
Well done. We'll have to get the trainer on with a sponge because she's broken the football.
Where was the Think Barnsley in there?
Barnsley, a football club. A well-known football club, my lord.
That was Arsenal, wasn't it? Arsenal?
Roger, I think yours is a bit easier. Okay. Again, a bit fragile in there.
All right, bag.
Don't think Barnsley, wherever
don't
you
think
do.
Don't think Barnsley. No, I never do. Right. There we are. A jar. Oh, it was a thermos flask. Could it be a thermos flask?
No.
No. Oh, a cocktail shaker.
Cocktail shaker.
Cocktail shaker. A little stone, sort of gem.
A gem. A specific gem.
Specific gem. A bow tie.
Yes, a bow tie. That's not a gem.
Is it?
That's the other thing in
bow
the bag.
Bow tie. Raffles?
No. Bow tie. Cocktail shaker.
Cocktail shaker.
Diamond.
Diamond! Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, I said diamond. I wasn't meant to say diamond. No.
Yeah.
Diamonds.
I gave him a clue there.
Diamonds are forever, yeah.
Yeah, diamonds are forever. Oh, there you go.
So diamonds are forever.
I like this game. It's good, isn't it?
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, let's eavesdrop once more on the hidden sweet nothings of chance meetings, strangers on a train, eyes meeting across a crammed corridor. Conversation consequences. In this popular round, our panellists imagine encounters between unlikely literary characters from different books. So, Roger, who was joined in perfect harmony for you?
All right. Well, I did. I was given Baloo from Jungle Book meets Romeo at a health farm. Now, for purposes of making this work on radio, we made Baloo is rather Disney-esque, to be honest. Anyway, and Mark's playing Baloo, and it rhymes, sort of.
How do you do? The name's Baloo. I'm here to lose a pound or two. How about you?
I'm here at Juliet's behest. My name is Romeo, and my quest is to add inches to my puny chest.
Yes, I was gonna say, you look like you're wasting away. As the old jungle saying goes, I've seen more meat on a hummingbird's nose.
If faith, I'm here to gain weight, not to lose it. If fatness be the food of love, then who am I to refuse it?
You want to get yourself down the gym. Lift some weights. Get yourself trim.
But gyms haven't been invented yet.
That's true.
And my dearest Juliet likes her lovers corpulent, rotund, beefy, fat. And look at my poor frame. My doublet is a singlet. In my codpiece swims a sprat.
Oh, cheer up, my Romeo. Don't let this weight thang bring you low. That girl from Verona, she sounds a right Mona. Are you sure that she's the right girl for you?
Well, I suppose you could say that she likes her own way. It runs in a family, that's true. But I am enamored. She has me in thrall. When she lifteth her finger, then I doth crawl.
Now listen up, boy, to Mr. Baloo. Get thee hence to the jungle. That's the place for you.
But what about dear Juliet?
Give her a few days. She'll soon forget. The Kipling-esque jungle, that's where you should be. No family feuding, a place to be rude in. In a loinskin, a boy can be free.
But friendless?
No way, no way. Have no fear, a talking bantha called Bagheera will keep you in line. And there's Mowgli, same age as you. You'll get along fine.
I'm sure we'll get on like a forest on fire. So I'll not tarry, thank you, sire. To be honest, we were so mixed up, we'd have probably turned to crime or ended up on drugs and died before our time. So, arrivederci, que sera, sera. And if you bump into Juliet, say ta-ra. Exit, Romeo.
Yo, soft, what light through yonder window breaks? Why, it's Juliet in the kitchen baking cakes. Yummy, yummy. Juliet, Juliet, wherefore art thou, Juliet?
Forsooth, fortuitous alchemy. Beneath my balcony, the answer to a maiden's prayer, 300 pounds of cuddly bear. Hang on, grab hold as I let down my hair.
Right, I'm Dilly, who made the sparks fly for you?
Well, I had Zorba the Greek meeting Miss Gossage from The Happiest Days of Your Life, which was a play and a film. And in the film, it was played by Joyce Grenfell. Miss Gossage was a teacher. Obviously, the casting is clear. I've cast Miles as Miss Gossage and myself as Zorba. They meet at the Museum of Mankind.
This way, girls. Dorothy, leave the African masks alone. No, Dorothy, I don't feel it's at all appropriate for you to wear one in the school play. It would give entirely the wrong impression on Parents' Day. I don't care if your mother did see Peter Brook's dream. Mustard seed is not coming on dressed as a Bantu warrior. Now, come along, girls. Here we are in the ancient Greece room. And before us, we have a superb specimen of Greek manhood. Ooh, wearing the traditional costume of a Greek soldier. I must say, this waxwork is marvellously lifelike. One can almost smell the masculinity.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. It's alive.
Welcome to the interactive exhibition of Greece, ancient and modern.
Golly, we are getting our money's worth.
My name is Zorba. As you can see, I am dressed in the Greek army uniform.
Pay attention, girls.
Greek soldiers wear a skirt, not unlike your Scottish kilt, but our skirts have more of a flounce and are a lot more fetching. However, because we are Greek men and we are full of pulsating vigor and sweaty virility, we do not feel like Nancy boys when we are wearing our costumes.
This is absolutely fascinating.
In fact, we have a traditional song in Greece, very popular. It is called Andreas, Where's Your Trousers?
Really?
Yes. We do a popular national dance while we sing the song. You must hold your arms outstretched, like so. It goes something like this, starting very slow and getting gradually faster and faster. The wind blows high, the wind blows low, through streets to the taverna, in my skirt I'll go. All the lassies shout hello, we'll give you lots and lots of dough if you will lift your skirt and show why women call you bungalow. But I say very firmly no, so then they shout you so and so, Andreas, where's your trousers? Hey! What is your name, O boot-faced teacher of girls?
Gossage. Miss Gossage.
Miss Gossage.
Call me Sausage.
Why, Sausage? You are vibrating. Yes, you are trembling, huh? I understand you are a woman, a little fluttering bird, and I, Zorba, am a great bull of a man.
You are a shocker, Zorba.
Yes, my manly strength and my throbbing potency make you palpitate. So, we go to the cafeteria for a quick tipple. What will you have?
I'll have a lemon, Zorba.
Let's go.
Let's finish off by pulling a few heartstrings with Lonely Hearts, a chance for characters on the shelf to pick themselves up, dust themselves down and start all over again. So, who've we got? Lonely Hearts.
I got, from nursery rhyme, Bo Peep. It just says, young lady with 80 pedigree sheep wishes to see man about a dog.
I've got Pinky from Brighton Rock, and his ad is, wanted woman for wanted man. Do not want sex, do not want relationship, do want alibi. The future is irrelevant as long as you swear you're with me in the past.
Wacky.
That was a bit wacky, wasn't it?
That was wacky.
I've got another one which is wackier.
Go on then.
This is a lonely heart from the whale, Moby Dick.
Ooh. Ooh.
I'm reading this, you know. And this is the reply from Flipper.
Got one for Hiawatha. And Ian himself just getting in front of the drums here, because do need some Indian, North American drumming. For this is Hiawatha. Hiawatha feeling randy on the shores of Gitchie Gummy, thinking squaw would come in handy for scritchy, scratchy, itchy tummy. Plenty big bam in the wigwam where the laughing waters flow. Fire and arrow make me quiver, mini ha ha, ho ho ho.
Time to finish now with a poem. After the match, the book team relax in a communal bath. That scum floating on the water could be wit, but I prefer to call it aftermath. So just remains for me to thank Mark Thomas, Roger McGough, Miles Kington and Dilly Keane. Booked was researched by Felicity Goodall, devised and produced in Bristol by Mark Yobst, and presented by me, Ian McMillan. Goodbye. Thank you.